A series of interviews has lifted some of the mystery surrounding the work of the United States Supreme Court. In these interviews conducted in 2007, eight justices discussed their different approaches to the job, especially writing. Most of the court's work is writing. It's the justices' words on the page that become the law of the land or interpret that law. Transcripts of the interviews are now available online, and NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg says they show some of the justices in a revealing light.
As Chief Justice John Roberts puts it, the only good way to learn about writing is to read good writing. And it turns out that many of the justices take their inspiration from great literature. Justice Stephen Breyer likes Proust, Stendhal, and Montesquieu. Justice Anthony Kennedy loves Hemingway, Shakespeare, Solzhenitsyn, Dickens, and Trollope. Justice Clarence Thomas says a good legal brief reminds him of the TV show 24, and Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg says one of the great influences on her writing was her European literature professor at Cornell, Vladimir Nabokov. Yes, the same Nabokov who later rocked the literary world with his widely acclaimed novel, Lolita.
He was a man who was in love with the sound of words. So he changed the way I read, the way I write.
Many of the justices admit to pet peeves. Justice Kennedy hates adverbs and nouns that are converted to verbs, incentivize, for example. Justice Scalia readily admits to being a snoot.
Snoots are those who are nitpickers for le mot juste, for using a word precisely the way it should be used, not dulling it by misuse. I'm a snoot.
That contrasts with Justice Clarence Thomas, as exemplified in this exchange with interviewer Brian Garner.
Would you describe yourself as a word lover?
Not particularly.
No?
No. I like buses and football and cars.
Thomas noted that he was raised speaking a dialect called Geechee and wasn't comfortable speaking standard English until he was in his 20s. The justices each approach their work at the court quite differently. Justice Thomas hasn't asked a question at oral argument in more than 5 years. He doesn't like the fast pace of questions to counsel, viewing it as unnecessarily intense.
I don't like the back and forth, and I've been very clear about that, and I won't participate.
As a lawyer said, Thomas, most of the appellate arguments he made had been without interruption, and he liked it that way. But Justice Scalia loves the combat of questioning and did as a lawyer, too. When he was a Justice Department lawyer, he recalled a Supreme Court argument in which he got only two questions.
It was awful. Come on, you guys. Give me a hand here. How can I help you? What are you concerned about? No, I think good counsel welcomes questions.
Indeed, while some justices, Alito and Thomas, for instance, have said they view oral argument as relatively unimportant, others like Kennedy and Breyer would like more time to hear the oral presentations and ask questions. Kennedy so loves the give and take of oral argument that at one law school moot court, where he served as a judge, he actually got down off the bench, gave the student advocate his robe, and put on the kid's suit jacket.
I put him up on the bench. I said, now here's how you should answer that question. I just couldn't stand it any longer. Now, many judges who've been trial lawyers feel that way. We wish we were down there.
But Chief Justice Roberts, who for years was among the finest Supreme Court advocates, concedes that asking questions as a justice is a lot less nerve-wracking than answering questions as a lawyer.
Because you can ask stupid questions. It's a lot less harmful than giving stupid answers.
As to the task of actually writing court opinions, each justice seems to approach it a bit differently. All talk about the need for clarity, for simplicity of language where possible, so that the lower courts will have clear guidelines to follow. In addition, they all see the need to explain to the public at large what a case is about and why it's important. Some justices, like Ginsburg or the retired Justice John Paul Stevens, find it easier to write a first draft and then let their law clerks have a go at it. Others, like Scalia, let the law clerks write the first draft, and then the justice rewrites, edits, and refines. Thomas says he never even sees a draft until it has been through three aggressive rewrites by his law clerks. Chief Justice Roberts relates a telling story from his 1981 clerkship for then-Justice William Rehnquist. Upon reviewing Roberts' draft, Rehnquist circled vast amounts of the Roberts effort and instructed him to put that material in the footnotes.
So I went back and gave him a draft with all that stuff in footnotes, and he looked at it and said, fine. He said, Now cut out all the footnotes.
Message to law clerk, it can always be shorter. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.